Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and today we unveil the latest feature in our Uncommon Economic Indicators project. It's an 800 number where you can call in the economic changes, the indicators you see in your community. We're asking you to be a radio reporter for us. Tell us about the little things, the big things that you notice around you, the uncommon economic indicators that the big old media may be missing. So call in to this 800 number, 1-800-543-2543. Tell us your name, where you're calling from, and leave your 30-second uncommon economic indicator. The number again is 1-800-543-2543. Easy to remember because it just goes down and down again, 5432-543. And here's an idea. Add the number to your cell phone speed dial. That way, if you see something on the street that we should know about, you can give us a call and submit the report right away. We're using these indicators to dig deeper on how the economy is really being lived in the New York metro area. We'll choose some of the best calls and feature them on our website and on air. Once again, it's 1-800-543-2543. We look forward to hearing from you on the phone, as well as reading your posts and looking at your photos and your videos in our Uncommon Economic Indicators at WNYC.org and 1-800-543-2543. Governor Patterson is holding a news conference on the economy right now. We're going to see if he's saying anything new. Of course, this is playing out not just at the national level with Tim Geithner's speech yesterday and things like this, but state by state, community by community in terms of policy. So we'll see if he's saying anything new there and maybe turn around a clip. But at 9 o'clock this morning, there was a hearing in Albany to confirm Judge Jonathan Lippman as chief judge of the New York State Court of Appeals. Hailed by many of his colleagues as a wizard of an administrator, Lippman's judicial record is somewhat thinner. So thin, in fact, that some are questioning his qualifications to run New York's court system. In this week's Village Voice cover article, Wayne Barrett traces Lippman's rise to power, one that is intimately connected to the House Speaker, Sheldon Silver, who is, of course, so powerful and had something to say about who becomes Chief Judge. Wayne, welcome back to WNYC. Hi.
Thanks, Brian. Yeah.
First, do you know what happened at 9 o'clock? Did he get confirmed?
I do not know. You know, it's pretty easy to tell, though, from that schedule. I've never seen this before, Brian. The Democrats are so new at running the Senate that they put out a schedule this morning that said 9 o'clock, a vote in the Senate Judiciary Committee on confirmation, and then they said 11 o'clock, a vote on the floor, which sort of presumes that the committee is going to approve him. Instead of just saying they'll have a session at 11, they say vote on confirmation at 11, which I guess presumes that they'll take care of the confirmation in the committee, because clearly if they didn't take care of the confirmation in the committee, there wouldn't be a vote at 11 in the full Senate.
Well, so that's the way of Albany, right?
Yes. We don't have to be there to know what happened. That's the point.
Tell our listeners, other than with respect to the process and how democracy is or isn't made in the capital of New York State, tell us why people should care about this. People may think, oh, I don't even know who the chief judge is or what he or she does. It was a she for the last 15 years, Judith Kaye. But tell us what the chief judge of New York State does and why people should care.
Well, the chief judge presides over the Court of Appeals, which is the highest court in the state, and hears all of the cases that are on appeal that are the most significant cases in the state. So everything that the courts say in this state that affects your life, if you're gay, they may well decide by the time Jonathan Lippman is stepping down 6 years from now at the mandatory retirement age of 70, they're probably going to get a case on gay marriage. Certainly the foreclosure crisis, for example, is a very, very legal question. Very likely that Jonathan Lippman, as the chief judge, will be hearing cases that deal with foreclosure, with the state's insolvency it may have to deal with rent regulation, with all of these key issues that affect our lives in so many ways. Those cases very often wind up, thousands do, going all the way up to the Court of Appeals, and the chief judge plays an incredibly important role in guiding those cases through at the highest court level. He is clearly one of the chief judge, the assembly speaker, the Senate majority leader, the governor. Those are the four most powerful people in the state. You have the attorney general and you have the comptroller afterwards, but those are the most powerful people in the state. So, you know, when two of them grew up together, Shelley Silver and Jonathan Littman, they come from the same neighborhood, lived right next door to each other, sat next door to each other in shul. And, you know, it's a duo that I consider now, because the governor himself doesn't seem to recognize his power, much less exert it. So I consider these two to be the Senate majority is so new that these two guys are maybe for the moment the most powerful Democrats in the state.
So with respect to Lippman's positions on the issues, if he's come up through Shelley Silver and more or less, kind of moved into power by Shelley Silver, is he a liberal Democrat with a lot of positions on these issues that might come before the state's highest court that most people who consider themselves politically progressive in New York would be happy with?
We have no idea. He describes himself as non-ideological. I mean, one of the criticisms of him is that he's only been a practicing judge since 2006. He's only written 14 opinions. We have absolutely no idea where he stands on any of the key issues. He's a blank slate. We know he's a friend of Shelley's. We don't know where, you know, other than that, there's no indication of what his legal philosophy is or his ideology. He's been an outstanding bureaucrat. He's a manager. He's an administrator. He was the state's chief administrative judge for many years. But we have absolutely no idea where he is on any of the key issues that the state faces. And frankly, he may not have any idea, because he's never really had to sit as a judge and rule on them. He was elected to the state Supreme Court in Westchester and in the rest of the 9th Judicial District, Rockland County, Orange, and so forth, in 2005, and took office in 2006. And up till then, his entire career, since he was a young man, he and Shelley graduated from law school the same year. They both became these law assistants and law secretaries. And his entire career has been spent in the judge's cloakroom. He's been a law secretary and then an administrator and so forth. So, you know, where he is on anything, we have absolutely no idea. All we know is that he managed to get through what I lay out in the story, a completely rigged career ladder to the top, where from every single position, he was elected to the Supreme Court and you couldn't vote against him. He was the only candidate on the ballot in the state of New York who was on all five party lines. And he said he wouldn't run unless he was given all five party lines. And Shelley Silver made sure he got all five party lines in a really disastrous deal, because they had to give another line, a ballot line, to another candidate who is now facing severe sanctions by the Commission on Judicial Conduct. That's how Jonathan Lippman became a Supreme Court judge, in a swap with all these other parties, where the Democrats then supported a really, really tarnished candidate for another position as part of the deal to put Lippman on every ballot line. And the consequence is that this judge may now be removed. He's certainly facing very severe sanctions from the Commission on Judicial Conduct. And most of what the commission has been looking at was known about him when this deal was made back in 2005.
So Lippman, if he got all five lines, that means he ran for judge as a Democrat, Republican, conservative, and what else?
Independent and Working Families Party.
How about that? How could anybody be those things? There's no political animal who the leaders of all five of those parties would really like.
Absolutely. I mean, the only way you could do that is you make a deal like the deal that was made for him. Now, I interviewed one of the county leaders, the Democratic county leader from Putnam County, which is one of the counties covered by the Supreme Court seat that Lippman held. And he said, well, we all sat in a conference room, in a room, and Shelley Silver got us on conference call and asked us all the Democratic leaders. And he was the most, this is in 2005, when the governor was a Republican, when the Republicans controlled the Senate. So this is the most powerful Democrat in the state saying to all these Democratic leaders, I want you to support my friend Jonathan Lippman, who they didn't even know. Mm. who'd never been active in any way in the politics of the Ninth Judicial District.
Now, the chief judge isn't just like the chief justice of the U.S. Supreme Court sitting on cases. The chief judge also does have a huge administrative position overseeing all the court systems in New York, the family courts, the criminal courts, the civil courts, all of this. And Judith Kaye, of course, in her 15 years, made a lot of changes that touch people's lives. She reformed the jury selection or jury duty system in ways that most people think are very much for the better, I think. She instituted community courts, alternative sentencing, to incarceration, a big thing for Judith Kaye. So she had a lot of influence on things like that. And Lippman worked very closely with Judge Kaye. She, I understand, is another one, not just Shelley Silver, who's in his corner. I'm looking at an editorial in support of Lippman from the from LowHUD.com. That's a website, a newspaper for New York's Lower Hudson Valley. Mm-hmm. And it says, as chief administrative judge, Lippman worked with Kaye to develop special courts, including drug and integrated domestic violence courts, which take a more holistic approach to some multi-layered legal issues. He also helped reform the jury system with her and create a school to educate new judges that is located at Pace University in White Plains. So that would make him sound like almost an assistant chief judge coming to this point, even though he wasn't sitting on the bench that much of the time in the, you know, in policy sorts of cases. So does that all argue very much in his favor?
Well, it argues in favor of him staying where he is, Brian. He was the chief administrative judge. I don't think anyone would argue that he was an ineffective one. He was an effective administrative judge. He did most of the things that you just described to Judge Kaye. Judge Kaye, as the chief judge, sets policy. Uh-huh. He was in charge of implementing all of these things, and he worked very closely with her, and he did many things.
That's a high compliment.
Yeah, he did many things that were positives. I think you'll find that in my story. I don't think that qualifies him. He's the first chief judge since 1898 that has not been a member of the Court of Appeals before he was made chief judge. I wouldn't have written this story if he had simply been nominated as one of the associate justices on the Court of Appeals. Even though we would have a brief resume for that position, it's arguable that he might qualify for that. But when you have the process that occurred, which is a process that was so rigged that the panel, the screening panel, a totally politicized screening panel that recommended seven names to the governor, couldn't find a woman in the state, couldn't find a Hispanic in the state who was qualified, and completely bypassed someone who was both a woman and a Hispanic, who had sat on the Court of Appeals for almost a decade and a half, Carmen Siparic, and they found her not qualified. Well, that's just rigging the system, because if she's one of the seven that is, those names are presented to the governor, Lippman's going to have a hard time competing with that when the governor makes his choice. So the panel didn't let that name out. So I'm not saying that Judge Lippman hasn't made, he has made. I think I make that clear in the mm-hmm. story. Real mm-hmm. contributions, and has been an outstanding public servant in many ways. But we're talking about a position that should go to a jurist, not a bureaucrat, a jurist. And we're talking about a position that should go to someone who doesn't pretend to be above politics when he's engaged in it in, I think, really remarkably unpalatable ways. As I said to you, the judge that he helped put on the bench with this five-party endorsement deal is now facing, and I think the strange thing is that a day or two from now, we're going to find out what the Commission on Judicial Conduct decided to do to Judge Alessandro, who was Lippman's partner in this deal. He is going to be sanctioned, perhaps. This is certainly something the commission has been looking at. And we may find out the day after Judge Lippman is confirmed as the chief judge in the state that his political partner, who was made a Supreme Court judge as part of a deal to make Judge Lippman a Supreme Court judge, that his political partner may be sanctioned by the Commission on Judicial Right. Conduct in the most severe fashion. Right. So that's the kind of thing that makes the whole process unsettling, rushed, And I don't think based on merit.
Wayne Barrett from The Village Voice. We have just another few minutes, and I want to actually change gears here because Governor Patterson was just holding that news conference, and over the last couple of days, there's apparently been some softening on the part of the governor and maybe the state senate to the idea of a so-called millionaire's tax to help get us through the recession in New York State, though it would apply to people making $250,000 or more. It would be, I guess, about a 3 percentage point increase in New York State income tax for people making $250,000+. And Governor Patterson was asked about that just moments ago.
The issue of taxes is one I don't think we should address. If the budget deficit were as we had projected it, then we, I would think, should be able to satisfy it with spending cuts and with the stimulus money, which would act, in a sense, almost as one shots for this year and next year.
So, Wayne, what does he mean this shouldn't be addressed?
Well, it's hard to figure out his language. He's sort of been on all sides of this millionaire's tax question. He means that right now, in the budget as they deal with it, that we should be able to close the gap without it. I doubt that that's so. I doubt that that's going to happen. You know, this seems to be the only thing he doesn't listen to Shelley Silver about, but I think increasingly he will listen to Shelley Silver about this. Because, you know, the stimulus package is not going to deliver, if it's the Senate version, it's not going to deliver as much money as the governor wanted to see delivered to the state, if it's closer to the Senate version than it is to the House version. So, yeah, I think it's very difficult at this time for the governor to have any real idea of whether or not he's going to go forward with a new tax like that without knowing what the final version of the stimulus package will deliver to the state. To me, it's, you know, he's just ruminating. He's ruminating without facts right now because you really don't know what the size of the gap is. You could implement a tax change somewhere up the road if the stimulus package, which, as he says, is just a one-shot. It can only help you for a year or two. So at some point, you're going to have to come to grips with the revenue question in the state. Maybe he can postpone it, but I don't think he really knows what he can say about it.
Well, he's trying to postpone it still, at least for the moment, as we heard in that clip. Wayne, this just in from the Senate Judiciary Committee, the vote on Lippman. Are you holding your breath?
Yes.
22-0. How many Democrats, how many Republicans? Is that roughly divided 50-50, that Judiciary Committee?
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. I didn't study the membership. You know, the membership has just come together in the last few days. I don't even think I could get a complete list.
So as you've said in your article, the man who may not be very well known in terms of his policy or judicial positions, but who has made a career extending influence across party lines, gets approved by the State Senate Judiciary Committee 22-0.
Thanks for the good news, Brian.
And Wayne Barrett, thank you always for the news. The cover story in The Village Voice that came out today on the political rise of the new chief judge of New York State, assuming, of course, that it goes through the whole Senate. And, you know, you never know. I mean, just because there's a 22-0 vote.
And that's right.
Wayne Barrett, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up in a minute. The latest on Bruce versus Ticketmaster. Stay tuned.